Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening, this October 26, 2025. We're here each Sunday at 7 p.m., Lord willing. And it's always good to be here. We're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years. And Ed, last week we talked a little bit about this holiday that's coming up this weekend. For a lot of people, they consider it a lot of fun. And we talked about that last week, the Halloween holiday.
Yes.
So today we're going to jump right into it after we talk about just a few things. We're going to talk about the prison house that Satan keeps us in.
Yes.
And you actually did a video on that in one of your on your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to jumping into this study.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it will be. Yeah. You know, we were just talking right before we turned these mics on. We were just talking about, you asked me, do people even think about what the words are? You know, Hallows Eve, you know, something that they try to take something dirty and make it holy.
Right.
And we're going to talk about some of those things this evening.
Right.
So before we get started, though, let's talk a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. We try to do this each week for people who are tuning in for the first time. Tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed.
Well, we're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, 1743 West Beverly Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we have services on Wednesday evening. We have a Zoom Bible study / prayer time. And then on Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday, the Sabbath of the Bible, we have our church service. We have a Bible study, which we call Sabbath School, at 9:30 mm-hmm. Eastern time, and then our worship hour at 11.
And people can tune into Zoom, and they can join us if they like for the Bible study. And there are questions that they can ask if they want or if they like to share in the scripture reading. But in order to get that Zoom link, how would they contact you, Ed?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can contact me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our email address or our names, if you can't remember our email address, you can't email us. But if you can't remember our names, there is a general email. Excuse me, to office at prophecyhope.com. You can reach us there. And also, if people want Bibles, Ed, what do we do? What do we try to do for people?
Well, if you need a Bible, we'll try to get you one.
Yeah, we'll try to ship one right out to you. You can contact us. We actually purchase them by the case, and we get King James and the New King James.
Right.
And we sometimes, we've been known to get people other translations if they have young people that are trying to understand. Maybe they have a hard time reading the language. We don't always recommend paraphrases, but sometimes you can benefit from those.
You know, not every language you can get a King James Bible, and so
that's true. And so, also, if you're in a country that doesn't permit us to ship you a Bible or won't permit you to have one, a lot of times you can get them on your phone. You can put apps and you can put them in places where they're difficult to find. And it would be really, well, difficult for other people to find because, you know, Christians are being persecuted
big time in
different parts of the world
based
on the fact that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so,
yeah, two of the countries right now are Sudan and China.
That's very true. And there are Christians there that have to do things kind of secretly, underground, so to speak.
They're losing their lives.
Yes. And, you know, Jesus said that would happen. And, you know, the times that we're living in is, they're of biblical proportion. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And it seems like the more we look at Bible prophecy, the more we see what the words of Jesus were and the comparison that he made to being like Noah's day, then we are living at a time that's, to me, unprecedented in human history. It just seems like Jesus could come very, very soon.
Yes.
And that's why we do this Bible study, Ed, to help people get their hearts prepared.
Yes, to hear the gospel, to be ready for Christ to come again.
Absolutely. So Is there any other business we need to take care of before we get started? Did I forget something?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't
know. Well, thank you, Ray.
Yeah, I did right at the beginning.
Okay.
But I'll do it again. Ray, we really appreciate you giving us this avenue. You know, we don't talk to Ray a lot, but he does so much in keeping us on the air and keeping this network going. It's really a blessing to be here.
Yeah.
So, Ed, would you have a prayer for us to get us started?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this opportunity again to open your word, the Bible, to help prepare our lives for the second coming of Christ, to share the gospel with others, to learn for ourselves what you expect from us and the power that you give us to overcome sin in our lives. Father, as we study your word today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand the words on the page that we read today, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, in your prayer, I noticed right at the end, you were talking about being guided by the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
Now, there's another spirit that tries to prevent us from doing that.
Yes.
So, let's talk just for a moment before we begin the study about the difference between the Spirit of truth and this deceptive spirit. What do we know about the Spirit of truth? Jesus talks about this.
Right. You know, the prayer I pray usually before I study, Jesus promised in John 16. And, let me start in verse 7.
John 16, 7?
Yeah, and we're going to... What I reference is verse 13 in my prayer.
Okay.
It says in verse 7, this is the modern King James, "But I tell you the truth, and it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus in John 14, verse 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So he's talking about himself.
Okay.
Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me."
That's so John
in verse
14,
8
6.
Of John 16, he says, "When that one comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment."
Hmm.
You know, these things are missing in the world. To call sin by its rightful name.
Right.
To call righteous living the way that God wants us to live our lives. People don't want to hear that. Concerning, there's going to be a judgment coming. We're going to be judged by every secret thing, whether good or whether evil.
Mm.
Verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe on me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Concerning judgment, because of the ruler of this world is a judge. Who's the ruler of this world?
That's the devil.
Yeah. "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he will announce to you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will announce it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and will announce it to you."
Hmm.
Jesus only speaks the words that his Father gave him to speak. And he continues that way of speaking to us when he talks about himself being the Spirit of truth, that he will come. How can Jesus come as the Spirit of truth if he hasn't left this world yet?
Right.
He says, "If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you.
Hmm.
But if I depart, I will send him to you."
Yeah.
You know, we have discovered in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, that Jesus received the promise of the Father, that gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus shed that abroad on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
In Galatians 4, 6 says, "God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." But you're talking about another spirit.
Right.
And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 first. We're going to look at chapter 2,
Okay.
And I don't know exactly the verses.
All right, I'm in Ephesians 2. It's only 22 verses here.
Okay, read the first, maybe first 10 verses.
Okay, I'm going to start right here. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience."
Yes.
So this is not the spirit of Jesus Christ, because Jesus only speaks truth.
Right.
And Jesus always obeys his Father, right, when he was here. It says in verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God." And let's
verse
see,
nine.
Verse 9, thank you. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
So you see this contrast here between the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and it talks about the type of life they were living, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and the thoughts, and were by nature children of wrath.
Mm.
And it goes on to talk about that by grace we're saved through faith, faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works.
Mm.
Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
So we have a choice to make. We can choose to follow Christ and have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, or we can choose to follow the adversary and have his spirit in us. Right? That's our choice.
Yes.
And this is
part of the gospel.
Absolutely. And so this is what we were talking about last week when we were looking at all of the things that were leading to this wicked holiday that's coming up this coming weekend.
Right.
And really, Satan traps us. He tricks us and he traps us. Once he tricks us, he tries to keep us there.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, before we go to Isaiah, let's go to Ephesians 6 first.
Okay, sure.
And I want you to read verses 10 through 20.
Oh, I love these verses.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah. So this in my Bible, it has a heading here above verse 10. It says, "The whole armor of God."
And again, look at the contrast between two spirits.
Okay, this is very important. So verses 10 through 20. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
So here we have this contrast between the armor of God, which is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The Son of God, and worshiping against, having a warfare against the devil. Mm. It says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places, talking about Satan and his evil angels, his demons. It's a spiritual war that we are in.
Absolutely.
It flows over into this physical conflicts that we see in the world today.
Sure, it surely does. And sometimes it's right in your face, like this holiday that's coming up, and sometimes it's very subtle. And either way, it's a trap. Either way, and it's a snare, and it will capture you. And once you're in that mindset, the devil tries to keep you from reaching out and knowing who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about the prison house of
Satan.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14.
All right.
And let's read verses 12 through 17.
Okay. And do you want me to read that?
Sure, if you would read that, that'd be great.
Sure. So this is Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of the prisoners?
Satan has a prison house that he wants to keep you in and I in. And he doesn't let his prisoners go.
That's true. Yeah, he wants to keep you there. And so let's build on this a little bit, Ed. Do you have some Bible proof on the statement that you're making there? Because it talks about the prison house here. And you and I both believe that he doesn't want to let you go. But what proof do we have of that?
Yeah, well, the modern King James says, verse 17, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, and who did not open the house for his prisoners.
Ah, okay. Yeah, mine says, who did not open the house of his prisoners.
Yeah.
So he's trying to keep them locked in.
Right.
Gotcha.
So before we talk about how Satan keeps you in his prison house, I want to share another section of scripture in Isaiah 42.
Okay. Isaiah 42.
I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7.
All right.
It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him, and he shall bring out judgment to the nations. This is Jehovah, Yahweh, God speaking, talking about his servant, Jesus Christ, his son. Verse 2. Remember, Jesus received the Spirit of God when he was baptized by John the Baptist.
Right.
He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking wick he shall not quench. He shall bring out judgment to truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set judgment in the earth, and the coast shall wait for his law. Jesus quotes these verses about himself in Matthew 12, verses 17 through 21. Verse 5 of Isaiah 42. So says Jehovah God, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, spreading out the earth and its offsprings, he who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness, talking about Jesus. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house.
So in verse 6 that you just read, it says, I, Jehovah, called you in righteousness. The righteousness that he's calling us to is Jesus, as you said. So, and then, so it mentions also that prison house in verse 7. Mine says to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes, he is.
And in verse 6 says, a light of the nations.
It's there for the whole world.
Yes. Yeah. So we have this contrast in Isaiah between chapters 14 and 42. One talks about Satan having this prison house, and he does not open it for his prisoners. But Jesus came to this earth to give light to those in darkness, to bring prisoners out of the prison house, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house.
That's pretty amazing.
The contrast. You notice in Isaiah 14, Jesus desires to be like God. Satan desires to be like God, but Jesus is the Son of God.
Right.
And we know that Jesus became a servant, we read in the beginning of this chapter.
Right.
Satan wants to be like God. See such a contrast in their characters?
Yeah, Satan's an imposter. And he wants to be like God in that he wants to receive worship. It's not that he wants to do any good for anyone.
Right.
It's all about himself. It's because he has so much pride. He just wants people to worship him. And you notice there in Isaiah chapter 14, Ed, it says over and over again, in chapter 14, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, speaking about Lucifer, I will ascend into heaven.
Yes.
I will exalt my throne. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the... I mean, over and over again. It's all about himself.
Let me share Philippians chapter 2 with you.
Okay.
Verses 5 through 11. And you'll see the contrast here of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Okay.
Verse 5, this is the modern King James. For let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and have given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly ones, of earthly ones, and of ones under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
You know,
this is this great contrast between Christ and Satan. So that's why we have this war, the spiritual warfare going on.
You know, in verse 8, it says, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself.
Yes.
But the devil tries to lift himself up.
Yes.
And then it says here that God is the one who exalted Jesus. Again, the devil tries to exalt himself.
Right.
So there's a huge contrast here. And this started very early in human history, right at the very beginning in Genesis. We see this. And so this warfare between God and his son and Satan the devil, in other words, God and his son stand on one side, Satan the devil stands on the other. This began right there in the garden when God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between the devil and the woman,
right,
and the seed of the woman. So Christ being that seed, we can see this conflict going throughout all of the Bible and even into our lifetime and into hopefully not the too far future. It'll end.
Right. So what's at stake here It's the salvation of the people of the earth.
Yeah.
That's the prize. That's what the debate is about. And of course, it's, you know, Satan accuses of God being unjust and so on. And he's trying to prove that his way is better than God's way. And we can see the results of Satan's way in this earth that we live in right now.
You know, just to show how deluded Satan really is, it's a text that I've referred to many times in the past and sermons that I've given, Matthew chapter 4. Right here in Matthew chapter 4, I'm just going to begin in verse 1. If you don't mind me taking us here for a moment, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So Jesus had been baptized right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes out, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Did Jesus have the ability to turn stones to bread?
Sure.
Sure, God would give him that ability. Yes. But he's also calling into question the identity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people doing that today over and over again. And Jesus answered him. And I love this because the answers that Jesus gives, again, they're not his.
They're from the Bible.
That's right. They're from his Father. They're from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And now the devil tries to take the Bible and only partially quote it. "For it is written, he shall give his angels a charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So the devil knows the Bible. And Jesus said to him in verse 7, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So Jesus answers him, not with his own words, but with the words from God's word. "Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" So there it is. This is what Isaiah chapter 14 is talking about.
Right.
"If you fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And it says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him."
You know, this reminds me that people of God speak the words of God. People that follow Satan speak his words.
That's right. So true.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 27.
Okay.
I want to read verses 38 through 44. This again is the modern King James. "Then two thieves were crucified with him, one off the right and one off the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You destroying the temple and building it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' The same way also the chief priests mocked with the scribes and elders, saying, 'He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And also the thieves who were crucified with him reviled him, saying the same."
Hmm.
Satan is the source of those words.
Of the ridicule, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's easy to be, when you're caught up in the moment,
yes,
the tension of the world, the tension of those around you.
This is the way Satan keeps you in his prison house.
Absolutely.
He inflames passions.
Yeah.
He inflames whatever the debate is about, whether it's political, religious, or whatever. And he has people that he uses on this earth that repeat the same inflammatory statements over and over again. It doesn't matter if they're true or not. That's the way they control people. That's the way they control their followers.
Right.
And it just people lose their mind. They can't think for themselves. Their emotions get stirred up inside them, and they just blindly follow whatever the issue is.
It's so true. You know, when I look at this, it's talking about blindly following.
Yes.
Right here in the verse you read, it says in verse 42, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross." These people saying these things, knowing the history of who Jesus is, mm-hmm. knowing what the Old Testament says, they're so wrapped up in the moment, they can't see that he's the one.
Yeah.
And he had fulfilled all of the things that were pointing to him.
Right.
And they can't see it because they're just so wrapped up in themselves, just like the devil was.
This is modern Christianity.
Mm.
You have pastors that preach things that are not from God's word.
Right.
They've been preached forever. It's been preached loudly and often, and people assume it's truth. And so when you present the words of the page of the Bible, they get angry. They get upset because that's not true, you know.
Yeah.
They get emotionally charged so they can't see the words on the page. This is one of Satan's techniques. This is his prison house. He has people in. My church has the truth. Or I can only be saved through whatever church. Name your church, Catholic church, Baptist church, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Or I have to be partakers of the Jewish nation or whatever people come up with.
Right.
And they lose sight of what the word says, that salvation is, everyone has the opportunity for salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Individually.
Yes.
It isn't based on what church you attend or what group you're a part of or what ministry, who your pastor is. Your pastor can't save you. Ed, you and I can't save anybody. Prophecies of Hope is a ministry.
Right.
It's not, this is just an avenue that is used to preach the gospel. It's not, salvation doesn't come from what we do or say.
Right.
It's from what Jesus has done for us.
That's who we point people to.
That's who we have to point
Jesus
people
Christ,
to.
The Son of God. And so through these conflicts in different churches and all the emotions involved in it, and I have the truth, I'm right, you're wrong, and all this stuff, versus simply opening the Word of God and just simply seeing what it has to say and be willing to accept what it has to say, which you and I both know is a challenge.
It is a challenge.
When we think we already have the truth.
It's really
so
hard.
So this is part of Satan's prison house, even in the Christian world.
It's so true. And he gets us, we get comfortable, we've learned, you know, you learn a lot of truth from maybe a particular ministry or a pastor or a mm-hmm. group, and you feel like, wow, this is so good. And then you see something in the Bible that might be contrary, or somebody brings up something, and you can get bent out of shape really easy instead of just, well, let's see. Is that really what the Bible's saying? Ed, that's happened to me where yeah. I just knew. I knew 100%. I've right. got the truth that my church right. is right.
Yeah.
And boy, what a slap in the face it was to me and a wake-up call to see that, wow, my church is not teaching what the Bible says.
Right. You know, I have different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I was taught how to study the Bible to defend what the church taught.
Yeah, I was too, from my church.
I was never taught to read the Bible to find out what it says. I was never taught to read things in context, to compare scripture to scripture, to let the Bible interpret itself, to look at all of what the Bible says on a particular subject, not just the few verses here and there that people tend to pull out to prove what they believe.
Mm.
If you're studying the Bible to prove yourself right and someone else wrong, you're going to have a hard time finding the truth.
And, you know, and that's, well, you may find it eventually, but that is not the way to go about it. In fact, there have been times in my life that I was trying to prove the point of my church, that when I read what the words in the Bible said, that's what woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
The person could have probably said it 100 times to me, and I wouldn't have seen it. But when I read the words that were in the Bible, it was just like a slap in the face, and I realized
the Bible has power in teaching people the truth that you and I don't have speaking to them.
That's so true. And God can use, he can make the rocks cry out. He can use us in ministry. And we always encourage people, have your own ministry, have a witness, give a witness, but always try to use God's word. We can think of illustrations and things, but God's word is powerful.
Mark, you were telling me before we started that you preached this last Sabbath in church.
Right.
And you said you thought it was a swing and a miss.
I did. I felt like, wow, that wasn't very good.
What were people's responses?
The response was tremendous. And in my mind, it didn't come over right. But the response, we got comments, people were texting me what an encouragement it was and how it really made them have to reflect on certain things.
This is what happens when you use the word
God. Yeah, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
And it's just, I try to do that each Sabbath. Every week that I preach, mm-hmm. when I do preach, I try to use God's word. And I've got to admit it, much more so since you and I have studied together. Mm-hmm. Years past, it was more talking probably than scripture. But now it's the other way around. And it's just letting God's word speak. That's what got you to take a look at something, mm-hmm. at who Jesus really is. That's what got me to recognize that God has a day that he set aside as sacred,
right.
and to see who Jesus really is.
Right.
For me, that was huge. Those two things, just seeing the words in the Bible. It wasn't what a person said to me.
Mm-hmm.
It came right off the page.
Right.
The two big things in my life that really made a huge difference. And sometimes God might put somebody in your life to ask you a question.
Yes.
That might, when you hear the question, it might shake you a little bit and you think, I know what I want to say, but I don't know if I can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to the Bible and see what it says, it just opens up a whole new avenue to you of what God's trying to tell you.
Right.
Have you had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at these techniques, the things that Satan uses to keep us in his prison house. And we'll look at what God uses through his son to deliver us from that prison house.
Amen.
So in verse 19 of Galatians 5, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lustfulness." So let's just stop with this verse.
Sure.
Satan will keep you in this mindset of lust of the flesh. And that can, you know, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, that's where sin is developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes into fruition. If you dwell on it long enough and you desire it long enough, you will act on it.
That's true.
And so there is so much of these things happening in the world, fornication, which is, you know, an immoral physical relationship outside the side of marriage.
Right.
Adultery, being unfaithful to your spouse. And these days, it includes, you know, homosexuality.
Right.
You know, and it's just these things that people do to their bodies and each other's bodies that God never intended. He did not design us to live that way.
But think about it, Ed. In the world today, these things are, and I'm air quoting here, normal.
They're popular.
They are very popular.
And so not only does Satan keep you in his prison house, these things that are considered sin that keep us from the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But he inflames the passions over these issues.
You know, he erodes us, you know, like a beach. Have you ever stood on a beach in the water and you feel the sand washing out from underneath your feet?
Or the waves come in?
Yeah. Yes. And that's erosion. It uh-huh. just kind of wears away. And in fact, if you lay a rock in that area and you just leave it there and it stays for a long time, it might be jagged. Over the years, it becomes rounded and very smooth. And so all of those edges are washed away over time, and you don't notice it at first. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. It's kind of like when I, you know, if you don't see your mom or your dad for a while, and then you see them after a year, you realize, wow.
You changed.
They've changed.
Yeah.
The time's gone by. But if you're around them every day, it's very gradual. You don't mm-hmm. really pay attention to it. You right. don't see it. So this is a technique that the devil uses. And just as an illustration, years ago when I was a kid, on television, they would even portray sometimes married couples sleeping in separate beds because they didn't want to give the wrong idea.
Right.
Well, now they have people on TV that are not married sleeping in the same bed, and right. it's acceptable.
Right.
People accept it. It's normal. This is what this verse is talking about.
Yeah. So Satan uses these things to keep you in his prison house of sin. This is sin. This is against the law of God.
Absolutely. And that's not popular to say the things that you're talking about here right out of Scripture.
So let's look at verse 20. Idolatry.
Hmm.
What does the Bible say? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right. And so many people will say, but I'm not worshiping another god. I'm worshiping the God of heaven. But do we put other things before God?
Yes.
If the Bible tells me that there's a day of the week that God has made holy, and I say, well, I'd rather pick this day, what am I doing? That's a form of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I'm going to choose. I've made myself an idol, really, when right. I've done that.
Well, there's all kinds of forms of idolatry in the world today. You have the idol of money.
That's very true.
Of
sports figures.
Yes. Of rock stars.
Yeah.
I want to be like them.
And people,
they influence people.
I'm a big car guy, and it's easy to, you know, get so wrapped up in that
wrapped up in time and
yeah.
money and activities and some maybe quasi-legal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, some of the things, you know, I like a fast car.
Yeah.
And so I have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
I really do.
So let's look at sorcery.
Mm.
So we talked about this last radio program, Halloween.
Yeah.
The holiday of Satan, dealing with witchcraft,
yeah,
dealing with wizards and ghosts and all these things of the cult of his church.
Even, again, especially this time of year, we're coming up to a time of year where we're coming up on Christmas. It's October right now, mm-hmm. the month that we're in 2025. And everything associated with Christmas is supposed to be, again, air quotes, about Jesus Christ. Well, everything's magical. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? The magic of, they'll have magic this, magic that. Oh, it was enchanting. They use all of these words that have to do with sorcery, magic, and they relate it to Jesus Christ. How can you do that?
Well, there's also odd things out. I noticed maybe a year or two ago. Spirit Christmas.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Spirit Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are some, you know, it seems like there are people out there inventing new language all the time
right.
to deceive people, make it sound good, but really it's not. It's idolatry. You're not worshiping God. You're not putting him first.
You're doing what you want to do
right.
instead of what God wants you to do.
Okay, the next one is hatreds.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen that.
Is that alive and well today in the world we live in?
In the political world, it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe how the anger, the rage that comes up in people
right.
because you believe a certain political way.
This is a tremendous type of bondage that Satan keeps you in his prison house.
Mm.
You know, the Bible in Matthew 5, the end of the chapters, says you should love your enemies, do good to those that persecute you. I'm not saying it's easy.
It is not easy. I'll be the first to tell you.
But when
that.
He says that, so you can be the sons of your Father in heaven,
mm.
to be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen. And that's believe me, these things, the things that we're talking about here, because we are surrounded by them, it makes them seem normal. But yeah. These are things that we need to be turning away from.
Right. These things we aren't able to overcome of ourselves. We need Christ in us, the Amen. Hope of glory, to be able to overcome these things. And it's so easy to get upset. Let's say something bad happened to a very nice person, and it gets you riled up in anger, and you feel a sense of revenge against whoever did this. Again, it's Satan's way of keeping you in his prison house of hate and anger.
It is. It really is. So the next word in my Bible says contentions.
My Bible says fightings.
Fightings, there you go. Strife or wrangling is what the definition of that word is.
Is there a lot of war in the world today?
Well, yeah, along with the hatred, what usually happens, it ramps up to violence.
This political conflict brings out violence.
Even within the church.
Either with words or with actual physical actions.
You know,
it's displayed every day on the national news.
It is.
No matter what side of the debate you're on, it's happening.
Ed, you were talking just last weekend, we were talking about the things that have been going on in the news and with this individual that was assassinated here in the United States, and that even within a certain church, it's caused division and contention
and the
accusations made of one against the other. And how does this happen?
These are the techniques Satan used to keep you in his prison house, his prison house of sin. The emotions are a very effective way for him to control hearts and minds.
Yeah, it's really sad. So we have, let's see, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, contentions, jealousies.
Yes. You know, jealousy, sometimes we think of jealousies in terms of relationships.
Right, we do.
But jealousies go much farther than that. Envy, that person has this, and I'm jealous of that. I would like something like that.
Yeah, it's a form of coveting.
Yes. Idolatry, coveting is idolatry.
It is. That's what Colossians tells us.
Yes, yeah.
So then it says outbursts of wrath.
Yeah, mine says angers.
Angers, yeah.
Rivalries. Again, you can look at any aspect of life, whether it's religion, whether it's politics, whether it's between nations, whether it's between students in school.
Right.
I'm smarter than you are.
Sure.
You know, whatever. Or sports figures. It's huge in the sports, professional sports.
It is.
You know, you hit this guy, some guy comes up, flexing his muscles, you know?
Right.
I'm stronger than you.
Rivalry. You know, this is going to step on some toes, but this is why, you know, being athletic is good.
Yes.
You know, exercise, the Bible tells us that exercise is beneficial for a little, right? But the problem is with these competitive sports, it puts you in the mindset, it puts you in the prison house of Satan.
Yes.
It really does, because the whole idea is to beat down the opponent, no matter what the game is.
No matter what you have to do it.
Right. And I know that's unpopular. Again, it's very unpopular.
You can see it in all sports, whether it's football, soccer.
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball.
It doesn't matter.
Basketball.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. And then you have hockey.
Yeah, that's a pretty violent sport.
You know, just recently I had somebody had asked me, They have this thing for a boy and girls club here in town.
Okay.
And they were trying to raise money to be able to help the kids and buy equipment for their school. And I thought, wow, that's a good cause. Mm-hmm. But then they said, what we want you to do is we want you to sponsor this boxing match.
Oh, wow.
And I said, no, thank you. If they want money for the program, I think that's a good thing to be able to put, you know, to allow the kids to be able to work out and exercise and
be active.
Yeah. But I'm not going to contribute to something like that. And the person looked at me like I was crazy, you know, and
they just don't see it.
They don't see it.
All right, the next one I have is divisions. We've kind of talked about that. Yeah. Things that divide people, whether it's husband and wife.
Oh, yeah.
Children and parents. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Satan doesn't care what it is as long as he's able to do it and build this wedge between people.
Right.
Divisions.
Yeah.
Heresies.
Yeah.
Heresies. False doctrine. Mm-hmm. People teaching false things, whether it's paganism,
mm-hmm.
New Age. I'm sure we're stepping on toes here, but
sure.
You know, whatever it is, he wants you to keep in this prison house of falsehood.
And he does that too by when somebody introduces Bible truth, they might call that heresy.
Yes, sure. in the Christian denominations, there's I'm going to say it, there's heresy. And in some, there's a lot of heresy.
Absolutely.
Falseness.
It's unfortunate.
Because they don't seek to know the truth of God's word. They seek to repeat the commandments of men as doctrine, the philosophy and thinking and wisdom of men as opposed to God and his wisdom that's brought forth in his word.
Right.
So again, these are ways Satan keeps you in his prison house. Let's go on.
Verse 21.
Endings.
Yeah.
Murders.
Hmm.
This anger.
That's what it leads to eventually.
Leads to hate. Leads to murder.
That's what happened
with this young man that got killed.
Right.
He was speaking things people didn't want to hear, and the particular young man didn't like it, so he decided he was going to kill him.
Yeah.
So we have drunkenness.
That's a big one today.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Drugs. These are addicting things. Satan is keeping you in his prison house through these things. These things keep you from understanding God's word. They cloud your mind.
They do.
They're not reality. It's an escape from reality.
And just because something is legal doesn't mean it's beneficial.
Right.
So, where were we?
Things like these, of which I told you before, and I also said before, they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm.
So, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of his Father in us, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Some Bibles may say temperance there.
Mm-hmm.
Against such things there's no law. This is the result of Jesus Christ working in your heart and mind, working in your life.
This is what the world is lacking, and this is what we need. We need all of these things. There are 9 things listed here. We need every one of them.
This is how Jesus brings you out of the prison house of Satan.
That's right. And notice what it says in verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
Yes.
So that means that we've put to death all of those things that we were talking about that keep us in the prison house. And if
yes.
we put them to death, we can be released from the prison house.
Yes. I want to go quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
And I'm going to begin in verse 3. It's in the middle of a sentence. It says, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, through which he has given us an exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also in these very things bring in all diligence, filling out your faith with virtue knowledge, with knowledge self-control, with self-control patience, and with patience godliness, and with godliness, brotherly kindness, and with brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are in you and abound, they make you be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
This is the results of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Amen. Not automatic. It's not easy. It's a lifelong change in the way you live your life on this earth.
It's a walk.
Yes.
And it's, you know, when we walk, it's a progression. Mm-hmm. When you first start, if you decide I'm going to take a daily walk, and I've done this for several years, there are some hills that I come to.
Yes.
And when I come to those hills, the first time I walk them, I would be huffing and puffing. It wasn't easy going up those hills. And after time, I can go right over those hills right. now.
If you find yourself in the prison house of Satan, pray to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Mm. Ask them to free you from this prison house. Jesus says, anyone who partakes in sin is a slave of sin. And he goes on to say, but if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen. What a beautiful thought, you know, that we can ask God to help us to overcome all of these things. And if we attempt to walk that walk and we ask Christ into our heart, He will get us to that point.
Yes.
He will perfect us.
You have to choose that. You have to allow that. You have to want that in your life.
It's a choice. And, you know, it's hard to believe we're out of time already, but Ed, maybe we can talk a little more about this next week. I think there's a lot more that can be shared with people on how to overcome that.
Right.
Because that's important to know. So being freed from the prison house and being free in Christ Jesus.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a beautiful study. We're just so grateful for this time together. And Father, we just ask that for those who are listening, for all of us, for each and every individual, that you will help us to be freed from this prison house that the adversary has set up. And Father, help us to recognize the freedom in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to just be willing to ask for Christ to come into our hearts. And Father, we know you are more than willing to send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, that we can cry, Abba, Father. So we're asking for these things. And Father, I just ask and pray that you will help us to be safe until we come together again. Thank you so much for your word, the Bible. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks again for the study. I look forward to next Sunday. Friends, you can catch us here next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.